because our God is good. Hey, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit. We are going to take a break kind of next week, because next week I'm going to just follow it up and encourage you guys to be there. We need to come together as a church when we talk about where is God calling us and how might he be calling each one of us into that kind of vision for what he's calling us into. It ties in with Oakland Beach because we believe, and this church has always believed, those families that came together at the very start of this church believed that God had called a group of people together to make an impact in this region, both not just with the message of Christ, but with being the hands and feet of Christ alongside of that message. So telling people about the good news of Jesus, but also showing people the good news in the way that we serve. And so Oakland Beach is a part of that. And so I'd encourage you, if you have time on Saturday, to get up there and to just walk around. We have a booth officially up there that's going to be, you know, handing out stuff, and there's several churches that are involved in that. But just see what goes on, because as we move forward, that's going to be some of the type of ministry that we really feel like God is calling us to be involved in. And so go check it out on Saturday. But next week, we will be taking kind of a break in the series just to look at, to really hone in on some of those things about what is God calling us to as a church. So be there next week, too, and the tacos should be good as well. And for those of you guys who don't want tacos, make a taco salad. We'll have a lot of lettuce. You know, there's all kinds of options. It's great. All right. This morning, we're going to be reading from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. You're not going to find this version anywhere, so you might want to follow up on here, because So I went to seminary, and they trained me how to read some of this stuff, and I'm trying to expand it a little bit in this version, because I wanted to bring some stuff out that's important for us to understand that's buried in here. And sometimes we read, you know, just the words, and we miss the point. And I want to make sure we don't do that this morning. So Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "I say this to you in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting for you to fully comprehend the weight and seriousness that I give it. Stop living out your lives in exactly the same way that the people of the nations of this fallen world around you live out theirs. They live out the meaninglessness of whatever comes to their fallen minds, whatever their fallen minds come up with, having a discernment that is severely limited because it is darkened to the truth. They are impossibly separated from the life that comes only from God, both because of that ignorance to God's truth that fills them and because of the resistance of their hearts to him. Because of this callousness, having lost all sensitivity to him, they have given themselves over to pursuing whatever might give some feeling of pleasure, to the end that they engage in every kind of corrupting practice with a hunger for more. But you did not learn Christ in that way. Instead, you have heard his voice, and you have been taught in his name that just as truth is in Jesus, in reference to the former way, your former way of approaching life, you lay aside your old self, which is slowly being rotted away as a result of those urges that are driven by the deceitful ignorance within you. You be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on your new self, which is being created in harmony with God's purpose in righteousness and distinctive lifestyle that is based on the truth of his words." You know, years ago, I was on my way back from a conference, and I was waiting for a connecting flight. And I was in this terminal that also handled a lot of Frontier Airlines flights. Now, many of you guys know that Frontier Airlines has kind of made it their thing. They're well known for having these promotional kind of flights where they just have crazy, ridiculously low fares, right? And so everybody sees this and they go, "Really? $29? The challenge with Frontier then is to try and make your actual trip cost come anywhere close, right, to the promotional cost of the ticket. Because they also have all these charges on about everything else. And so people have gotten very creative in the ways that they have gone at trying to get that actual $29 trip together. So I'm sitting in this terminal, and I'm watching the people, you know, they're walking or running by, you know, trying to get to their flights or coming home. And I see this woman she's standing there, and she doesn't have any carry-on luggage, but she is probably wearing at least a week's worth of clothing all at once. I mean, so you're seeing collars just stacked up here, and she has on a jacket and a coat, and both pockets are stuffed, full of stuff. Her shoes are untied because of how thick the socks are. And she's walking through, and I'm thinking to myself a couple of things. One is, I'm thinking to myself, this is a Frontier Airlines customer, right? Very discerning there. The second thing I'm thinking is, I was really kind of admiring her because I would never do that, right? It takes a lot of guts. We talk about it. We say, you know what we should do? We should dress up in all our clothes and then jump on the plane, and we could actually get that flight for $29. But none of us do that. Here she was doing it, right? And I'm going, I gotta say, I mean, that I'm proud of you. Now, the third thing that I thought was, that look, right? I mean, that is not going to hit Madison Avenue anytime soon. It's just not going to catch on. So I'm looking at that, and part of the reason, it's funny because it was the look that made her stand out in that airport. You know, it was that crazy look. But it also, I looked at that, and that wasn't a good look. That's not how we wear clothes. We don't wake up in the morning and put on one full outfit and then another full outfit over that. And another full outfit over that. That's not how clothes work, right? So that's not how we do it. And so the only time I think that we'd ever see somebody doing that is when? Well, at the airport, because they're flying Frontier. So going in, I was thinking about that this week as I was preparing this message, because I was thinking, you know, in the same way in Ephesians 4, God has said, spiritually, we cannot be wearing two outfits at the same time either. And the difference is, in Ephesians, you're not just talking about two regular outfits, two nice outfits, two outfits that would work at any other time. You're really talking, the way he contrasts them, he says, there's one old, ratty, disintegrating, rotting out outfit that we're trying to wear, and there's this other beautiful, kind of new outfit that God has offered to us. Says you can't wear them both at the same time. So he says this. He says in Ephesians 4, it's verses 22 through 24. So lay aside that old self. Lay it aside like you would an old rotten garment. Put it aside, that old self which is slowly being rotted away as a result of those urges. And I want you to hear this part. Those urges that are driven by the deceitful ignorance that is in us. Because of the way that we're ignorant of who God is and what he's called us to, that ignorance gets us to believe in some lies about what this life is about what life is about. And in buying into those lies, and we're driven by these urges that come out of those lies, and we pursue things that actually destroy us. So get rid of that. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then put on that new self, which isn't being rotted away, but instead is being created in harmony with God's purposes, in the righteousness and distinctive lifestyle that is based on not deception and lies, but is based on the truth of his own words. We're in a series on the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we learned last week is that the Holy Spirit is wanting to, one of his main kind of missions and purposes in our lives is to bring us into a new kind of life. A new kind of life where we reflect more the life of Jesus than we do kind of that old broken life we had, or that was ours when we kind of were doing it on our own. But Ephesians tells us, you know, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to put aside this old one first. Last week, we looked at some of the distinctives of that new life that God has called us into in the Spirit. And we found that in the Spirit, we've been made present to God. And he has been made present to us. so that we are brought into a relationship with him as with a friend. It says that we have access to God immediately through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to, in worship, we don't have to pray that God comes down or that he brings us up. Immediately we're there with him. It says that we have been empowered and authorized in the spiritual realm. So we've been given authority in the spiritual realm, and that authority in that spiritual world has impact in this world as well. That we have power over sin in our own lives. That we have been given a new heart, a cleansed conscience, so that our conscience doesn't constantly convict us, but rather the Holy Spirit is reminding us of who we really are. We've been born anew as a member of God's family, and we have been commissioned anew into Jesus' own work and Jesus' own ministry. That's the life that God has given us, that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into. But Ephesians tells us that if we're ever going to put on that life, we're going to have to first take off the other life. We're going to have to throw it aside. So what does that mean? What does that look like in real life? Well, that whole section that this is found in, these verses are found in, from about the middle of chapter 4 through to the end and even beyond the end of chapter 5 in Ephesians, it gives example after example after example of what it means to take off the old life and put on the new. So I want you to listen to some of these, because some of you guys, you're going to relate to the exact examples that come up. You're going to go, oh, that's me. There it is. Don't you hate that? When that happens, when I do that, right? I say something, you go, oh, you brought that one up. Thanks. See if I come back next nice weekend, right? But I want you to also listen with your ears open to hear the Spirit as he might be speaking to you, because sometimes it's not that example. Sometimes God starts calling you to something that's going on in your own heart and in your own life, and it's not in the list. But it's still him talking to you the same and saying, you know what, you need to pay attention to this one, because this is what you need to take off if you're going to be putting on the life that I've called you to, this life of blessing, the life of reflecting who Jesus is. So first he says, take off bitterness. You guys, bitterness, a lot of times we think of bitterness as that's what I feel, right? Somebody does something to me and I get all bitter and I need to take off. Yeah, take that off. But you know this word, what is about is when you're bitter, do you realize that everybody you talk to, you just leave a bitter taste in their mouth too? Have you ever been with somebody like that? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And you go away. Yeah, that's what. What am I doing? Right? Why am I griping? That's not even my problem. But take off that bitterness that then seeps out into other people's lives. Take that off and instead put on the kindness of God. Right? The kindness of God in the Psalms, there's a verse that says, taste and see that the Lord is not bitter. The Lord is good. Every time he shows up, it's like, wow, that was good. Take off your bitterness. Put on instead the kindness of God. Take off that explosive anger. Explosive anger. Some of you guys, listen, I know, we know what it's talking about, right? The anger that just blows up and blows the people up that are in front of us. Take that off. That anger that searches out people to destroy them. And instead put on this tenderheartedness that God has, that tenderheartedness that compels you towards people with compassion. Take off the wrath that doesn't let go of an offense, and instead put on forgiveness, the same kind of forgiveness you saw God forgive you with in Christ. Take off anything that steals from others. Now, I'm hoping that there aren't many of us in here that are literally stealing from each other. But it seems back in Ephesus that was a thing. But he says whether that's literal or whether maybe you're stealing emotionally from somebody, you are just sapping their life. Maybe you're stealing time from them. Maybe you're stealing whatever it is, stop stealing from each other. And he says, instead, put on this attitude of working hard so that you will have extra in order to be able to give to others who have need. So quit taking. Start doing what it takes to give. Take off being so filled with alcohol that you can't think straight. And look at what he says. And instead, be so filled with the Spirit of God that you're thinking his thoughts after him. You're speaking his words. You're even singing his songs. A lot of times we look at that one and we go, oh, God doesn't want me to drink anymore, but I like my, you know, right? And we go there instead of realizing he's not, no, just don't get so trashed with this when you have this opportunity to be actually thinking God's thoughts and speaking his words and encouraging people with his voice instead of this distortion that even just doesn't, your voice doesn't even make sense anymore. Take off griping. Replace it with giving thanks. Take off using your power and position for yourself alone. Start learning how to leverage your power and position in everything you have to lift up someone else by subjecting yourself to them, making yourself kind of their servant in the way that Jesus made himself our servant. Overall, it's kind of summarized with Ephesians 4:30 and then Ephesians 5:18 where it says, stop grieving the Spirit. Take off grieving the Spirit. Anything that causes God to grieve that we're doing in our lives, take that off and instead put on the fullness of the Holy Spirit instead. Let God show himself through you. Okay, so we're looking at the list and we're going, great, yeah, that's a great list, right? That was a good list, wasn't it? I mean, it really touched me at some times. It really kind of challenged me at other times. Sounds good. What's the problem with this whole process? The problem is this. We all know that old comfortable clothes are hard to get rid of. Right? You guys agree? Same way, old comfortable habits are hard to get rid of. That's why he uses that kind of that clothing thing. I have a pair of leather kind of moccasin slippers at home. I've had them for about 25 years. And these babies are looking good. The stitching in the one is starting to come out, you know, and so it doesn't quite hang on to my foot the way it used to. You know, bottoms, if you look at them, they look more like this smooth polished wood than they do kind of the suede leather they used to be. The inside, the wool's all kind of matted down and looking kind of bad. Nobody else is going to use them, I can assure you that. But am I going to get rid of them next week? No. And not just because they feel good on my feet. I look down at those. I have memories with those slippers. I do. I remember Christmases where I came down and the kids were having a great time and I'm coming down in my slippers. You know, I remember early mornings with God in those slippers. I'm not going to get rid of this. That'd be like dumping an old friend, right? Now, the problem is that sometimes our spiritual habits are the same way. Our spiritual pursuits and our pursuits in life are the same way. They feel like family. They feel like friends. Sure, they're not the best, right? Sure, they're old and tattered and ratty, and sure, they might be doing us a little bit, well, not just a little bit of harm. Sure, they may be killing us, but, I mean, come on, right? They're like family to us, dysfunctional, horrible family, but family. We're going, how can I get rid of that? I'm comfortable with my bitterness. I'm okay with how people are bitter after I talk to them as well. I'm comfortable with this anger that just erupts and blows up people's lives. I'm okay with it. I know how it looks in my life. I've seen it all my life. It's like an old friend. I can count on it, right? The problem is that we have a hard time breaking away from these things. We have a hard time getting away from the lies and the practices that we have come up with because of sometimes what is the ignorance of God's purposes has kept us blind to what he wants, so we've developed something else. And we have a hard time. We have a hard time letting go of the lie that if I'm generous, I'm going to come up short. Right? Isn't that what keeps us from being more generous in our lives? If I'm forgiving and more vulnerable to other people, they're going to take advantage of me. And I'm going to lose. And we believe those, and those are hard to get rid of, so we hang on to those. But Ephesians tells us, if we are ever going to understand and put on the life that God has for us, we have to take off the old before we put on the new. So what does that mean? Well, I want us to think about that this morning. In fact, I just want us to kind of walk through, maybe a first walkthrough of what that process looks like. So this morning, some of you guys, you have your bulletin, and I think on the back of the bulletin, yeah, there's room. If you got a pen, you can write some stuff down. If not, you might take out your phone. You might, type it out in notes or something. I want you to think about something right now. I want you to just kind of close your eyes. I want you to take a tour of your life. And usually we don't have to look too deep. We know what these things are, but I want you to think about, what are those habits, those pursuits that you know God wants you to get rid of? What are they? And I want you to write them down. I want you to start writing a list of these are the things that need to go. Now, Ephesians says that sometimes they're hard to find, because sometimes these things are the things that we see everybody around us doing. We say, well, that can't be that bad, because everybody around us in this fallen world, they're doing the same thing. Everybody is pursuing their own selfish dreams. Everybody is using their time only for themselves. Everybody's holding on to offenses. Everybody is explosively speaking their mind, no matter how much damage it does to the people they're talking about or to. Everybody is using words that it doesn't matter when you use them, they're rotten, they're foul, and you have to let go of them. Everybody's doing this. But when you take the time with God to say, what habits, God, do you want me to let go of so that I can put on your life? So, these are the things that come to mind. These are the things that he mentions in his word. And so I want you to think about those, and I want you to think, what are those spiritual, those relational, those emotional, those life habits that you have developed, those fears that you have, those pursuits that you are in, that you know that God wants you to take off? List them out. Now, the second thing, and this may be when you get home and you've kind of had further time to list these things out, I want you to go through that list with the Spirit. And you guys, that sounds kind of funny, because some of us haven't done this before, but he will literally go through this with you, and you'll be going through there and you'll see him highlight some stuff for you. And he'll say, you know what? This is where you got to start, right here. And he'll highlight one or two of them. And I want you to go through that process and say, okay, God, which ones are most important? And you go, what do you mean most important? Because ultimately, all of them probably have to go, right? They're all probably pretty bad. And you're looking at them going, yeah, this is rotten. But for example, if you got some just tattered, rotten socks on, you're going to have to take your shoes off before you get those off, right? So God's going to say, some of these have to go first, because they might open the way for these others. And he's going to know how to go at it. So walk through with him and go through this list and either underline or star or do something next to the one that he highlights. And he says, listen, this got to go. We got to work on this one first. Third step is, and this isn't, okay, so you see these. I want you to look at those two or three that you highlighted, that God highlighted for you. I want you to look at those and I want you to think, okay, so what is then this is kind of step three, what does he want me to replace this with? What is that new habit, that new thing he wants me to put on? Look through them and start, and sometimes it's just a general thing. Sometimes it's like, you're really selfish. Be more generous. Maybe it's just an easy opposite. That's all he's saying. Sometimes it's really specific and really personal. It's not just forgive, you know, you're not very forgiving. He doesn't just say that. He says, you know that offense that you have with your mom, you know, or that offense that you have with your sibling, or that old boss that really offended you that time that you're hanging on to, that thing. It gets real specific. And he says, and I want you to replace that with forgiveness, but not just this general forgiveness in your heart. He may say, I want you to replace that with a forgiveness where you take the first steps to reconcile. Or I want you to replace that with a forgiveness where you learn what it means to let that thing go, to not let them take up space in your head anymore. Or that maybe that means you forgive in a way that maybe you stop talking about that person in the way that you've been speaking about them. That you stop trashing them in front of everybody and anybody you can. And God says, okay, so I want you to replace this one really specific thing with this one really specific thing. In fact, you don't just quit talking about them that way. You start talking about them in the way that I see them. So as you're going through and God is kind of highlighting these things, write those down as well. Write down those impressions of, okay, God, this is what you want to highlight, what you want me to get rid of. This is what you want to replace it with. Now, this is where Ephesians, there's an interesting thing that happens here in Ephesians, because it says kind of, you saw that, take off the old and put on the new, but in between it was this other step. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's kind of like, take off the old outfit, take a shower, and then put on the new. Right? And that has to happen. He's saying, go now, take the time that you see these two things and you see where I'm moving you and where I'm asking you to come from and where you're going to. And in between those, take the time to walk with the Spirit through, what is this going to mean? Prepare your mind for it. A lot of times we try and put on a new habit and we're not ready. So we just start trying to do it without even understanding how it's going to change everything. So as we're taking on like forgiveness, or we're taking on generosity, or we're taking on graciousness towards other people, we have to realize this is going to change everything. And so go through with the Spirit and start thinking through, what are the implications of this? You know, what is it going to cost me? Because it will cost something. But also, what am I going to gain? What am I going to gain by living in this way rather than this way? What am I going to gain in closeness to God, who's with me all the time? What am I going to gain in terms of relationship with others? Also, think about what fears maybe are going to make you want to run away from this thing. What is the experience you're going to have that you're going to press into this new way of living, but then somebody's going to say something that makes you feel a certain way, and you're just going to want to run back to the old way of doing things? People going to react to the new you? Sometimes it'll be good, they'll be encouraging. Sometimes it'll be bad because they miss the old you. They used to be able to gripe together with you. Now you're not griping anymore. Who am I going to hang out with? They want the old you back. But be thinking through these things, and be thinking, last of all, are you committed to walking this path with Jesus? Is that really where your commitment lies? Are you willing to walk through this path of transformation with Jesus so that you become more like him and less like the old, broken you? Because we have to decide that before we move on. And then the last step is just, once you've had it, you know, you've gone through, you've listed this out, and he's highlighted it for you, and you've had kind of the conversation of what's, you know, where do you want me, what's being replaced with, what that's going to mean in your life. Once you've gone through all that, then put on the new. Put on the new. Put it into practice. Dive into it. Jump into it with both feet. Start living out the you that God has called you to be. You guys, this is basically the process of becoming like Jesus. A lot of times we hope that Jesus will just sprinkle fairy dust over us, right? And we'll just become better people. He doesn't talk about it that way. He talks about partnering with us in the transformation that is taking place in us, and with us partnering with him in the transformation he is doing in us. So this is the process. This is the process of being becoming filled with the Holy Spirit, to where we become, we start to look like the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He fills us with Himself and with His presence. This is the process. Take off the old as being corrupted and rotted out. Be renewed in your mind. Make the shift and then put on the new. That is being created in the very likeness of God. Paul, when he started out, he says, I say to you in the authority of the Lord Jesus, wanting for you to fully comprehend the weight and seriousness that I give this. Stop living out your lives in exactly the same way that the people of the nations of this fallen world around you live out theirs. It's not what we've been called to. Take off the old, put on the new. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You guys, I want to just say one more thing before we pray. Next week, we're getting together, and we are going to be talking about how, as a church, we do the same thing. It's important for us to, as individuals, to take off the old and put on the new, to be constantly moving forward with Christ. It's important for us as a church as well to say, okay, God, what is it that you're calling us to be? You know, we've seen the last 20 years, and you've used us, and it's been awesome, but what are the next 20 years? What changes need to happen? What changes need to happen in how I'm participating here? What part I play? What you're calling me into? What things are changing about this, and what do I need to step up into as individuals, but who are we as a church? I really want to encourage you guys to be here next week. There's some great things that God is calling us into. There's some great opportunities that are right in front of us for us to take hold of. But we have to kind of go through this process together, not just as independent individuals, but as a corporate body, as the body of Christ, as the church that God has called us to be. Next week, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at it saying, okay, this is where God's calling us. What does that mean? How are we going to do this together? And I think it's going to be kind of a starting point for a really exciting time together as a church. Amen? Father, we want to thank you for the way that you do call us, and for the way that you walk through us through a process. It's not an easy process. It's challenging. It's hard to get rid of stuff that we're used to and that we're comfortable with. It's hard to walk into something that we don't fully understand sometimes. It's hard. It's nice to talk about being like Jesus. It's just hard to get there. But Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the grace that you have given us in Christ, the very grace that we came and we celebrated at this table, that you have made the way clear. You have given us all the power and the authority and the ability that we need in order to be transformed day by day to look more like your Son, and to make you known in this world and to completely transform this world with your grace, with your goodness, with your compassion, with your glory. So, Father, make us like you. Help us to intentionally walk with your Spirit through this transformation process. Let him have his way. Take off the old, put on the new. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
We have so many opportunities to worship in our daily lives and